Hello and welcome to the second edition of our Sun Valley Church podcast specials. My name's Nathan Jeffries, and I had the privilege to sit down with Brother Philip and Sister Debbie Sanders as they recently finished speaking at our Conditions Before the Rapture annual conference. I believe that this interview will be a real blessing to you.
You all have successfully raised a family. Now you're into several grandchildren. So I'd like for you all to talk about that, raising kids, and specifically raising kids for the ministry, from the ministry and then into ministry.
Well, that is a difficult task. I'm a firm believer that every pastor's family should be prepared. They're the ones that should carry on the task. God ordained it from the seed of Aaron to go on forth with the priesthood. And I believe it even should be today. I'm not saying you need to call your children to preach. Of course, there's a whole different aspect between ministry and preaching. Because there's a lot of, we have children who are not necessarily preachers. Mm-hmm. They are teachers.
Right.
And they are, very competent and strong leaders in the church. Our classifications, sometimes we get them mixed up in our mind that we have to call our children to preach, but especially among us wholeness folks. But preaching isn't necessarily always in the pulpit.
Right.
And so the preparation for that entails a whole lot of things.
I think as far as our children, we made them a part of everything we did. They, the time they were born, they were with us and whatever, whether it was church activities, whether it was in the home, we were including them. And it's like, you know, you're homeschooling literally from the time you birthed that child. Mm-hmm. And we kept them involved in when we went, you know, to meetings, when we went to play, to, you know, outside of our own home church area, you know, we took them with us. They were involved with us. Things that we did there, they were involved in. So
even with evangelizing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they sit on the front row. They were actively involved. We went to altar. They went to the altar. You know, that they would sing with her. I believe that the preparation starts by having them at your side. Mm-hmm. You don't just go sit on the pew and just sit there while I perform.
Right.
We are a family. We are going to do this together.
Yeah. And I think they had a desire and hunger. Of course, they have to get it for themselves as far as their relationship with the Lord. But you're there teaching and training bringing that, you know, desire in them as they see you live your life. And ours at an early age were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and became actively involved in leadership in the church as they grew older and, you know, took that part because they had a desire to, not because they were forced to or they had to. You know, there were times in early ages, yeah, you're going with me where it's work day and come on, get up, let's go, mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Or come on, girls, we've got this meal to get ready. You know, we've got preparations here to get done. And that's children, you know, but then they had that hunger and that desire for the work of the Lord.
I remember you can interject here, but I remember you were doing some cooking or something and a lady came in and said, oh, how your kids help you, your daughters jump here and help you. You remember that?
Well, I think you, as a parent, you look for the areas in your children that they excel in already, the God-given gifts that they already have, and you apply those, you know, when I found out who liked to do what, then I pushed them towards that to be their best at it. And they had a desire. One may be decorating, one may be cooking, one may be. And then all the girls had their area of expertise.
Well, even now, just like one of them is not the best housekeeper. Okay. But she is an entertainer. She has somebody at her house all the time or is cooking for something that's going on.
Right. One of the girls in the church that she attends, she's over all the meals and the planning and takes a major part in that. Another one is a pastor's wife. She's very capable in the music and yet works among the women of the church.
The other one goes to a larger church, but she volunteers. She, I want to be involved in the children's church. I want to be involved in the nursery because that was her nature constantly.
Mm-hmm. Now, you all may have answered this question to some extent. You're talking about keeping your family close. The ministry is all tied together. But one of the most notorious groups of people in the church is the preacher's kids. You know, the trouble, and we see that, you know, without naming names, we do see that in our movement where the, you know, the pastor and his wife are successful and their kids are not, or they're backslidden. What changes that? What do you do, or where do you feel like you've outdone that in your family?
Well, it goes, I had a man ask me, he said, what would you credit raising, he was talking about my sons. And I told him, I said, they's in my hip pocket everywhere I went. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then the Lord kind of dealt with me about that. And I went back to what I mentioned. I think it was Sunday. And Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. My number one motive is not popularity. Mm-hmm. It's not preaching. I had a man tell me you could be the top camp meeting preacher, but you have chosen to raise your family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my number one appeal was not to preach big meetings, to get all the accolades patted on my back. I just put my hand on the plow and I said, come on, this is the direction we're going. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably to credit with that is just being, our number one goal was the kingdom of God. And we weren't going to leave them behind. You're coming with us. You're going to be doing this. If, like she said, you know, if we're down here picking up rocks off the road, we're going to all pick up rocks off the road. Mm-hmm. If we're having work day, we're all going to work day. And the girls may be cooking, but their interaction in the kingdom, and I don't know if I'm veering off here or not, but the interaction in the kingdom, you have something to say on that?
Well, I was thinking, you know, in homeschooling, yes, the pressure that was there, you know, homeschooling your kids. I thought as a mom, there were times, did I do everything right? No. Even the disciplining when we, you know, talk to parents on raising your children. But I learned from that. And I think the kids that I know they've learned from it because I see them doing with their kids what I did. Come on. And, you know, when I'm frustrated, come on, kids, gather around mom, pray for me. I'm going to have help from the Lord. I need him to help me now, you know. And I thought, too, even as they got older and there were areas where we saw issues in their lives that we wanted to, that we knew the Lord was dealing with and that we wanted to see changed. You know, there were times in those teenage years, the temptations that were there in the of the world to pull them away and in other areas that we would stay discerning of that, stay involved in their life. And many times, there were times Dad gave them an ultimatum. You know, you can live up to what we believe, or you can get off the platform, you know, or, you know, you'll no longer, you know, you've got brothers and sisters and others watching you if this is the way route you choose to go. So you pray this through and you let me know, mm-hmm. you know, and praise God, he helped us to stay in that place where we could help them.
Well, the word she's saying, to sum that up in one word, is proactive. Mm. instead of reactive.
Right.
We would look ahead and say, okay, what is this going to do? We want our children to be involved in the kingdom of God. We don't want them to just go back here and sit on a row, on the back row. One of my son-in-laws asked my daughter if they get married, and in our talks, in our counseling, I said, she's 10 times more ready for the ministry than you are. And he'd been through Bible school and preaching. And he said, I know that. That's why I'd like to have her as a wife. And I wouldn't slap him, but anyway, you know, my statement was, if you move back where you're going, if you move where you're going to move, I think you'll be out of the will of God. And I give you an opportunity here. But I want you to know, if you think my daughter's going to go sit on a pew, I will be the greatest torment of your life. Mm-hmm. And I meant that because I didn't raise her to sit on a pew. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about being a layman. If she's going to be a layman, she's going to be the best layman in the church.
Right.
I said, I will call you weekly and ask, have you volunteered to mow the yard of the church? Have you volunteered to plant flowers? Have you volunteered to clean the church? Have you volunteered to take the pastor to lunch this week? Have you volunteered to take the evangelist and the pastor out or have them in your home? Have you volunteered to teach Sunday school or be in the children's church? You see what I'm saying? Where I'm headed with all that. And I think all of that probably was a proactive mm-hmm. to make sure that they were involved, not just in the preaching, but in the ministry right. and working for God. And, you know, in our marriage conference, we have a part where we talk about every family should have a mission. And that doesn't mean they need to go to Africa or China. That means, what are you doing as a family to have a mission for the kingdom of God? You know, Nathan, I see you and your family and Leah, and she's a worker mm-hmm. and the kids are involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not just twiddling their thumbs. She gets them involved in that stuff. And you do too, also your sons. So every family should have a mission where the church is concerned, and that will keep your children working for God, whether it's planting shrubs, trimming shrubs, whether it's mowing yard, whether it's cleaning the church, you know, whatever it is. You know, here we're having something to eat after at church every night, and it's always involved. Mm-hmm. You know, the church is the hub Amen. For everything the family does. And if that becomes the priority in their life and in your life as parents, you lead them to that, mm-hmm. then that will
they'll stay connected.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bring this back again. When the children of Israel set up camp, they set up camp in a pie shape. In the center of that, in the circle, was the ark or the tabernacle. But the head of the home, whoever he was, the older patriarch, was the first tent. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it widened as it went back. But where is that arrow pointing? Hmm. It's pointing to the tabernacle.
Right.
It's pointing to the representation of God. And that's where we're missing it. We've diversified. Though we may be kind of headed that way. It's like Brother Estes preached, you know. Man, he's a good baseball player. So we kind of take this tent and we point it this way. Or, man, he could be a financial manager. I think they could do good over here. Or I think they need to be involved in this, and we get these activities out here instead of the focal point being the kingdom.
So in the time that I've known you, you all have gone from pastoring a church, full-time pastoring, and then now it seems to me, and from what I can see, that your ministry has shifted its focus to being about the family. So the times that we've had you here, you guys have done your ministry conference. We've enjoyed it and hopefully changed. We'll have to ask my wife on a different podcast about that one. But from there, and then, of course, this week you guys are doing the dysfunctional family. So if you could, for a few minutes as we, you know, for towards the end of this podcast, I'd like to ask you what that transition was like, and then where did that burden come from to minister to families across the U.S.?
Well, the transition was horrible. Any transition is very difficult. Yes. And it has taken years to really, I want to say define it, but to accept it. Okay.
Yes.
It started, we knew we were getting older. You know, the family was pretty well raised. And God sometimes forces you to do things when you don't want to. Would you say that, huh?
Probably so. I mean, we felt it in our spirit and started preparing for it probably 5 years before we actually resigned.
And we didn't know he was doing it necessarily. Mm-hmm. God was doing that. Looking back now, hindsight is what? 100-100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we see now where God was kind of inching us up, pushing us in this direction. And we did a 12-week, wasn't it, 12-week Sunday nights just for couples only. And we involved that with our daycare center. We give the parents one free day if they would attend. Mm. And so it kind of interacted the two, the church and those who wasn't in church. And that was the preparatory for the basis of our conference now, marriage conference. And so when we left out, left there, you know, our movement is not adept to seminars and conferences and things of that nature. So we were kind of the pioneers in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as we started doing it, we start really seeing the need. You know, always holiness people are probably some of the biggest hypocrites alive. Mm-hmm. We always live on we live on what we see and right. Not really what we are.
Right.
And so as we start doing this stuff, man, and I don't know if that's the reason why people don't like it, is because it exposes too much.
Right.
Well, it does. And you know, I can say I was raised in a preacher's home, but a marriage that was very dysfunctional. And I learned through that what I really wanted and needed. And God helped me, with the help of my husband, of course, become what I am now, was, you know, and I could have avoided so many adjustments to marriage that I had to deal with. But with the help of God and understanding what he expected of me and understanding what a husband expected of me and vice versa through that. And so through our teaching, you know, we'd use a lot of life experiences because it's what we've gone through. It's what we've experienced. And I believe God used that because of the openness of that we are when we do it, that makes people respond to us and feel that they can, and they're maybe publicly, but we have had so many come to us personally and saying, you know, you opened things up for me that, you know, and God has really helped us feel fulfilled in that. And it's not an every week thing. Some years there's been like six a year, you know, that we might do of those marriage conferences. Some years less, especially through COVID years.
Yeah.
But God's always opened another door.
But even now, it's kind of waned. It seems like we're doing less of those. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that God isn't shifting us again. I mean, our basic statement is we have two things. Number one, we just want to be somebody's answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. The second statement we want to make is, we're just waiting on our next assignment.
Right.
Because these are adventures for us at this age. And it seems to me that God is shifting us. Debbie has a multitude of ladies and even preachers' wives that seem to be now is pouring out to her their difficulties. She is ministering to them more on a personal level.
Right.
I've got, I don't know. I don't want to, I don't want to float it, but I don't want to back it up. How many that I have called me on a regular basis? Hey, what do I do with this? Pastors, younger pastors.
Right.
Hey, how would you act on this? What would you do? And it's more on a personal level now than it is a corporate level. And it seems that God is weaving us in that direction for whatever purpose, for whatever he has for tomorrow. I don't know. I just wish he'd talk. Okay. I wish he'd say, okay, this is what I'm going to do with you.
Right.
And, it's not an easy road, you know, in our 60s, mid 60s to travel, you know, a different bed all the time, not being able to settle down in one place. At this age, you're supposed to be in the American dream, raising a garden, cutting your grass, sitting in the lawn chair, drinking iced tea. And we're out here beating the paths, but it's something that we feel the peace of God in.
Right.
And right. I think that's kept us healthy. It has kept us as sharp as what we are. I mean, you know, we are limited in some ways, but I think it's just because we're excited doing the will of God. We want to burn out. Okay. We want to burn out, not rust out.
Amen. Well, I appreciate both of you taking time out of this busy week to sit down and do this interview. It's enjoyable. I like being able to hear from different ministries to see. We've had the last podcast was with somebody who was retiring, and now seeing people who are shifting. And seeing how that plays out, that's really a fascinating thing. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. We appreciate the opportunity.
Yes.
And these are comfortable chairs.
Amen.